Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
Yo, yo,
ah, now, fucker.
Tune in now, Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock that cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Aljamain Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't shit.
Motherfucker.
I could do that all day. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps. Oh man, we got a big fight card. Actually, really a big fight matchup. Obviously, all the fights are important. All the fights always matter. We have a saying in fighting and competition. This is the biggest fight of my life because every fight in the moment is technically the biggest fight of your life. You know, so they all matter. But in terms of a matchup, in terms of pivotal matchup for the division, we have a big one coming up in this weekend. Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns. Huge opportunity for Burns to really make the rest of the division know that, yeah, he has arrived. Now, of course, he beat Damian Maia, and we let people know that he has arrived. But Maya's always been on that fence, that cusp of, is he too old to still be competing with the top dogs, or is he too one-dimensional? But Maya has been a main staple of the top five, top 10 of that UFC welterweight division for a very, very long time. And Gilbert Burns did what? Smoked him. Dispatched him. He is the OG human backpack. I have a lot of respect for Damian Maya, but Burns went out there like a man on fire and got him out in the first round. So that's what makes this matchup very, very pivotal for a guy like Tyron Woodley who wants to make another run at a UFC belt. And of course, get that ever so big rivalry fight with Colby Covington, as he calls him, Colby Queevington, Queef. But we'll see what happens based on this weekend. But before we get into that, really crazy, crazy whirlwind of the last 2 weeks. Training has been nonstop. It's been huge for me. I will say nothing has seemed to change in terms of like the type of work that I'm getting in with my guys. I think I'm getting the best looks I could possibly get with my guys. So what I like to say is, so typically when you have the training sessions, like we go to Sarah BJJ night, we always talk about this. You always hear Matt talk about this. You come down on a Tuesday night, you're probably getting strangled, right? So with that being said, on a Tuesday night, there are also what we call the kind of the gimme or the rest rounds that you can kind of jump in there with somebody else and the round where you can work on stuff and not get a gauntlet of a dogfight match for those 5 minutes or 6 minutes, depending on how long we're doing the competition rounds for or depending on the time of day. But usually Tuesday nights is 5 minutes. Okay. So with the Dog Pound training crew, it's very, very different. We're going with the best of the best guys. And it's not just the best BJJ guys. These are some of the best fighters in the world. So these are guys who are not only just giving jiu-jitsu looks, they're giving MMA looks. So they're giving the striking looks, they're giving the choking and the strangulations and obviously the leg lock attacks and things like that, which are very, very, everything's beneficial. So you're always like this, sharp, sharp, sharp. You have to be on your toes. You have to be ready to adjust and think on the fly. And that's what I love about it. So there haven't been any easy rounds, nothing of the sorts, in my opinion. And some of the things that we've been doing. So say this past Monday, we did wrestling situations and we did six rounds. The week before we did eight, starting to taper down a little bit. This is the week before the fight. So the grappling rounds, I did a circuit in the morning. I was supposed to post that, man. I keep forgetting, my bad. I fucked that up. I will eventually get to it. And you guys could get a look at what that circuit training looks like and what it entails. But we did the circuit in the morning with the UFC countdown. So, you know, I had to go hard. You know, the camera's on, so I had to go hard. You know, I had to go hard in the paint. A little extra oomph to be like, yeah, Corey, we out here working. So I hope you ass is motherfucking working too and bring that shit. Because I'm going to see you June 6th. I'm going to see you before that. But June 6th is what matters. So now we got the MMA wrestling situations. And we're starting from like, let's say, striking into my offensive attack. So now I'm looking for my offensive takedowns. As I go for my takedowns, Your job is to defend. So now halfway through that round, we switch. Now they're throwing strikes at me. I'm along the cage, along the wall, and I'm trying to defend. I'm trying to look through my binoculars with my shield, my pillars, my blocks, and at the same time, trying to anticipate a takedown. So as I shoot in, now I'm defending. So that's the first round. Second round, we're doing body lock position, S grip, palm to palm. This is an S grip, making an S. So whichever one you like, and just working with those grips, offense and defense as well. But this one was offense 5 minutes, and the next one was offense defense 5 minutes. So the first round, switch halfway through the round, so 2.5 minutes into the second round, we did that. And then the halfway through, we get a fresh guy, and then we're working with him. And then the next round, which is the third, I'm working defense again. So now I'm defensive in the same position. Now they're getting their turn to return the favor and ragdoll me. And I got to fight the hands and get out. And I tell you what, man, feeling sharp, feeling great, hitting more submissions than I think I've ever hit this close to a fight with my weight extremely low compared to how big I normally am. I think this is normally what I... Today's Thursday. So normally I'm this... Oh, today's Wednesday, actually. I leave tomorrow, which is Thursday. So normally around this type of weight, I'm usually about 55. I'm waking up today at 50, what was it, 53 today? My first workout this morning, we did some wrestling drill, and I weighed out about 50.4. So that just lets you guys know like how good of a control I got on the grasp of my diet right now. Obviously, it sucks. It's never fun and maintaining the weight cut for this long, but I fight around 150, 152. So to get my body kind of stabilized around this weight, because this is where I'm going to be competing at, the longer my body is here, the more natural, more normal it's going to feel when I rehydrate back to this weight. My body's going to be like, okay, we're good here. We're good. We'll get back. We'll feel good. And this is what we're used to feeling like. So I've gotten better and better with each fight doing that. Normally, I'd be about 155. And then Sunday, I try to wake up at 150. That's the mark right there. If I could wake up Sunday at 150, that is a smooth weight cut week. And makes it as easy as possible and less miserable, for lack of better words. So we do the third round, then the fourth round comes along. Now we're doing all four positions, body lock. So we're putting ourselves through a gauntlet with these guys. And then the last few rounds, we kept one partner instead of switching through halfway, because obviously the energy level is coming down. There's more risk for injury, especially when you're lighter. You got to be a little bit more cognizant of that. You get fresh guys jumping in on you and really trying to push the pace. I tell these guys to go. I mean, I got that old school wrestling mentality where we push our bodies to the limits, push our bodies to the max when we're in the training session. Outside of that, you could taper down the best way you see fit. But while we're in training camp and we're in the workout, I like to go ham. You know, that's just my mentality, my motto, you know, just how I go. And thank God, knock on wood, no injuries so far. So far, so good. So that was the end of the night session. We had the UFC countdown and it was good, you know, getting a good hoorah with the guys. And I think you guys are going to be in for a treat watching this segment of the UFC Countdown. This is my first time doing it. It was a little odd not having Matt Serra there, but we were able to get Ray on film because obviously it's my debut and it's my first time ever doing something like that. So I wanted those guys to be with me. Obviously, these are strange and very difficult times with the coronavirus nonsense. And let me not call it nonsense, but the coronavirus pandemic. Let me call it by its rightful term. I say nonsense in terms of like, shit's just fucking crazy, man. Like, look how we're living our lives. And I'm not one to say we should or shouldn't, but if I had it my way, I would choose that we should not be living our lives confined into our houses, into these boxes 24/7. I think that's a little ridiculous in comparison to where we were 100 years ago with vaccines and medicine. So I think if we got by back then, obviously we had a lot of deaths. But I think if we got by and we figured it out, I think we could be okay with the advanced knowledge that we have today instead of kind of just sheltering and living our lives in these bubbles. You know, because once we get out of it, then everyone's going to be communicating with each other, touching and all this stuff. So I think having your body kind of building up that autoimmune antibodies, I guess, for lack of better words, it's probably the better route to take. But again, I'm no doctor. And you guys can tell me I'm fucking stupid, blah, 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 whatever. Like I said, I'm not a fucking doctor. This is just how I think and what I feel. I'd rather just have everything open up. But yeah, that's pretty much how shit was going. But that was my Monday. And then Tuesday, we hit it pretty hard. And We were supposed to do the UFC Destin, but then that got shut down. I was pretty bummed out about that. So we did almost, we did a day and a half. We did three quarters of a day of filming, and then they got the call that they had to pull the plug for some logistic reasons, and it was a bummer, but we had fun. I was kicking it with the UFC crew. They're part of the IMG WME team, so I guess the IMG side, and I guess one of the guys worked with Serena Williams and a few other high profile people, and they do all the other UFC Destins as well. But super cool dude. And the whole staff was just cool as fuck and laid back, down to earth. And we were just having a good time. So we had all that. That was kind of a letdown. Literally, as we got back from the city, that happened. And they dropped the bomb on us. I was like, all right, man, it's been fun. It's been real. And definitely see you guys next time when this all clears up and we could hopefully do something, get my hand raised, and maybe we could finish up where we left off and we'll be in a better position this time fighting and going for the belt. So it is what it is, man. You can only control what you can control. And other than that, man, I've been crushing it, man. Today we took it a little easy with the drilling, but obviously I went from 153 to 150.4 to, for me to lose that type of weight, you know, it was a good pace. I'm well hydrated. And my body's burning these calories like that. So I woke up in the morning. I had some pineapple. I had a glass of water, about 16 ounces, I want to say. And I got right to the gym. And we did an hour of drilling. I got on the bike, Aerodyne bike, for 15 minutes. And I did like a little bit of interval sprints. Not too hard. I didn't go too crazy. Because I want my body to recover. Because Monday was brutal. Tuesday was brutal. And Wednesday, the first session was tougher than the last session. And you know, just giving my body more time to recover, because this is like a taper down week. So we started off hard and let the body recover. Did an Epsom salt bath yesterday as well. And I'm definitely at that peak. So I don't want to run my body too down into the ground so that it can't recover when there's no food in my body for my body to use as fuel to help with the building blocks and rebuilding the muscles and everything. So I'm trying to keep that happy medium and not go crazy like I did for the Caraway fight when I was in phenomenal shape. And then the day of the fight, I did three fucking workouts like a maniac and blew my load all in the first round. You know, workout, super hard workout in the morning, did another fucking hour long hard workout. And then right before the fight, do a warm up. And that was like another half an hour, 45 minutes, I think, in the back room. And then went out to the fight, felt like a world, you know, I set the world on fire for 45, for 5 minutes, and then pretty much crapped the bed because my arms felt like I was swinging cinder blocks from them. That's how heavy they felt. But lesson learned. And here I am today. So we kind of have a little bit more knowledge on that. You know, the work is done. The work is fucking done. There's not much more gains I can make other than up here, staying sharp and staying mentally tough in here, you know? So we've got to bring those two things as well as the physical to the Octagon June 6th. You know, Corey St. Hagen is a tough motherfucker and I can't wait to go out there and mix it up with him. All right. So let's get into our, we're not doing our scrap in the news because there's not much news we're going to talk about. Let's just get into our weekly breakdown. For the fights, it's obviously, sorry for the delay on this, man. I've been busy, you know, having the UFC team running around XYZ. I'm doing my kitchen over, picking out cabinets, picking out countertops and kitchen sinks. And these are all things I enjoy. I've been doing a lot of DIY projects at the house and cleaning up, touching up the paint, touching up the trim. So doing a lot of things, patching up some holes from like when I hung the curtain rods up for the ceiling for the rods for the curtains, when I hung those up, I made a couple of wrong punctures, and I finally filled them in with, the quick set spackle, like the little small jar that you buy, take it out and just spackle it in, it goes pink and then goes white, and then I got to touch that up with the paint. I haven't even done the paint yet for that, but that's going to be a project for another day. Right now, I just need to focus on everything else, and I got to get packing tonight because I'm fly out tomorrow morning. But before we get into our breakdown, what is this fight event called? UFC Fight Night. Is there a number? Boop, boop, boop. Okay, no number. I don't see any number. May 30th, UFC Fight Night, Tyrone Woodley versus Gilbert Burns. But before we get into that, I want to give you guys a special inside look on the love of one of my sponsors, Sleepy Bear. They are with the Hydrocana team. Now, these guys are great. I don't know if you guys have trouble sleeping, but guess what? I do. And I'm going to give you guys a closer look because you guys need to see this. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. A little bit of melatonin, some CBD and CBN. Now, one thing I will say, there's something really cool on here. It says one for sleep, two for slumber, and three for hibernation. Now, the great thing about the Sleepy Bear is, like I said, I have trouble sleeping. I spoke to my guy, Kyle Paradiso, who is the owner and co-founder of drinkhydrocanada.com and as well as Sleepy Bear. Now, talking to him, he told me this product was coming out. I was like, dude, I would love to try it out because I have an issue sleeping. So I'm the type of guy who will go to bed. If I do go to bed at 10, I'm still up at like 3. I wake up, I go to bed, I sleep, but I wake up in the middle of the night anywhere from 1 to 4 times sometimes, on the high side, 4. 3 is like, 2 and 3 is like the normal. Couple of things, going to the bathroom too often, or I'm restless, I'm tossing and turning, I'm just waking up, and then it takes me a while to kind of figure out why I'm awake. My brain is racing all over the place, and then boom, I can finally fall back asleep, and then it happens either 1 or 2 more times throughout the night. So sometimes I'm up at like 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I wake up and I feel like I took a quick nap. So I got a short nap, and then I hit that midday crash all the time around, let's say 2, 3 o'clock in the day, and then I'm ready for a nap. If I don't take a nap, then I usually crash out. That's like my downslope. So usually I have to take a nap before training, and it makes me feel good and a lot more energized again to finish out the rest of my day. Obviously, you wake up groggy, which sucks. But with the Sleepy Bear, I will tell you this. I took the 3 for the hibernation, and boy, let me tell you, hibernation was no joke. I took it at 9 o'clock. I was in bed by 12, and I was fighting my sleep from like 11 to 12 because I didn't think they were going to kick in that fast. Like I said, it has a little bit of melatonin in it, and it's the perfect dose, I think, because it's not an over excessive amount of melatonin, but the CBD and the CBN, I think that combination of everything has given me a little bit more relief when I sleep. So now I can knock out a little bit more relaxed at night. And if I do wake up, it's only like once, and that's to actually just go to the bathroom. So it's not the end of the world because I drink a lot of water, especially this time of fight camp. I'm overly hydrated. So if I take these, it knocks me out. I have better sleep. And I'm only waking up one time if I wake up. If I do get up, it's usually at 6 or 6:30. So that's a perfect time for me to get up, and I get moving around that time anyway. So I'm up doing things around the house. People in the house that I live with, they think I'm a little crazy because I'm up and moving that early. But I'm telling you, the Sleepy Bear has made a big difference for me. Right now, they're doing a sale for 25% off. You can use my discount code for an extra 5%. So that's 30% off Funkmaster at checkout. And I do believe they're giving some extra goodies away with the Hydrocanada for the gummy bear rehydrations. So I love their products, man, especially for the sleeping. I think that one is huge. I had a lot of people asking me if this stuff works, and I'm going to tell you right now, 100% does work, and I will not give you guys bullshit and promote bullshit. So try it out. If you guys like it, let me know, because I'm telling you, you're going to have great results with this. And like I said, it's all about sleep, man. Sleep is a big factor for recovery, for your brain to get its functioning and to stay sharp. So for me in training camp, when my mind is racing 1,000 miles a minute, to get proper sleep is huge. Even if it's just 6 hours, I need 6 hours of just able to sleep and not waking up in the middle of the night trying to figure out why I'm awake. You know, my brain's just racing and just thinking about all these different things. So this helps me knock out. And I went from 3 down to 2, and that's helped me a ton. And I will say, one time I did take it too early. I think I took it at 8, and then I was out, passed out on the couch at like 10, 10:30. And I was like, fuck, I took this way too early. Fucked up my sleeping pattern a little bit, but I was able to go back to the room. I got some water, used the bathroom, make sure I got that out of me, brushed my teeth, went to bed, and I was able to knock back out like that. So it all worked out at the end of the day, and I still woke up, I think, around 6:30, 7 o'clock. So like I said, try this out. The discount code is Funkmaster, so go get yourself your 25% off and get that extra 5% with my discount code, with the discount code Funkmaster. And when the sale is over, use my code for 15% off. So thank me later. Go to sleepybear.com and check it out. Let the sleep be with you. Now, we got our fight card. Now, let's see the ones I want to talk about. Okay, Lewis Smoker versus Casey Kenney. This is going to be a fun fight. Casey Kenney coming off of a loss to our guy, Merab Dvalishvili. And Lewis Smoker, I forgot who he last fought. I need to figure out a way to pull up this card. Maybe Tapology will have it. But I like Smoker in this one just because of his experience. Casey Kenney's a tough dude. I think when he ran into a tough grappler like Merab, that was a little bit of a more trouble for him. And I think he's going to have a little bit more success in this. But I do like Smoker because of his durability. He's hard to choke. And I think he's okay in the scrambles. So this is going to be interesting, him training with Timo Yama. Maybe if he made those adjustments with the takedown, if he could stuff a couple of takedowns, he could probably get off with his striking on the feet. But that's going to be remain to be seen. And I think Smoker's last fight was Ryan McDonald. He won via hooks of round one. I don't know what hooks mean. I don't know if there was like TKO by hooks, like punches, or hooks like a heel hook. So I'm going to think that's like a TKO maybe. I don't know. But this is going to be a fun fight. That's at the bantamweight division. Casey Kenney, 13-2-1, and Lewis Smoker, 16-6. Next fight, Tim Elliott versus Brandon Royal. I think it's Royal. I think that's how you pronounce it. I trained with Royal out in Denver at Factory X right before I fought the Suns out. He is slick when it comes to chokes and jiu-jitsu. And what's fascinating is they didn't have like, I didn't know who the real BJJ instructor was. It seemed like that was like one of the missing pieces of the puzzle over there at that gym. But you would never have guessed it with a guy like Brandon because his jiu-jitsu was so solid. He was the one guy that was actually had to worry about certain things because he would get that high elbow guillotine and it would be trouble. So I would have to respect it all the time. He's fighting a veteran, Tim Elliott, the winner of the Ultimate Fighter, the flyweight challenge for the tournament to fight Demetrius Johnson. He is 15-10-1. Royale is 10-4, making his debut in the UFC octagon. That's going to be a fun fight at the flyweight division. Next fight I want to talk about is Caitlin Chookagian taking on Antonina Shevchenko, the sister of Valentina Shevchenko. This is a great fight for multiple reasons, because we want to know the headspace of Chookagian. She's fighting the sister of the girl that finished her in her first title appearance. You know, so this can have a positive or a negative impact on her. Obviously, you're fighting the sister of someone who I would say the fight was as one-sided as it can get, and to be an all finish, you know, Valentina kind of shut her down from beginning to end. But whether or not she made those adjustments with the body lock, with being on the ground, with even the stand up and committing more to her strikes, that's going to be the difference in this fight. Whether or not Valentina's sister, Antonina, is going to be able to pick up on that, and whether or not Chookagian is going to be in the right headspace to not let her sister being in the corner kind of cloud out that this isn't a brand new fight. That fight happened. It's in the past. Nothing you can do about it. This is now. What am I going to do now to fix things going forward? So that's what I'm looking forward to see, if she made those adjustments and can she go out there and implement her beautiful ground game on Antonina Shevchenko, who did struggle against Roxanne Modafari. So this is a big fight. So can she get back into the win column, or will Shevchenko continue her reign at the flyweight division right behind her sister in Valentina? So this is going to be a fun fight for sure. She is also coming off of a win over Lucy Pudilov, while Chookagian is coming off of a loss to Valentina Shevchenko. It's weird times, man. This whole pandemic is, obviously we're not going to get to train with the people that we're normally used to training with. I was supposed to help Caitlin with this fight. I didn't know it was Valentina's sister, Antonina, that she was fighting. But she reached out to me. We're going to work out. And then, I don't know, this one, Rebecca had the coronavirus, my girlfriend. And I just disclosed it to her. She was kind of like she didn't care, but I guess she went to go check with everybody. And she said she would let me know. I gave full disclosure because the last thing I wanted to do is get anybody sick if I was an asymptomatic carrier, as the words that the doctors were using. So she said she was going to call me back. She never called me back. She never called me back. But it's okay. I figured could kind of take the hint that either she forgot or it was just like kind of like, I'm not about that right now. But I get it and I respect it. And hopefully she got the best training that she could get. She's pretty much a Long Island staple now. She lives one town over from me with her boyfriend, Kyle Seminara. So I'm looking forward to this one and whether or not she can get Shevchenko to the ground and implement her top game as opposed to being taken down and having to fight over her back. Because that was an okay fight from her being taken down. But when Valentina took her down and passed and was able to get him to crucifix, that's where things got tough. So I don't think Antonina's ground game is as slick as her older sister. But we're going to find out. I think that's her older sister. But we're going to find out in just a short couple of days. Welcome back. This is a good one. Mackenzie Dern versus Hannah Cyphers. Now, Dern is 7-1. Hannah Cyphers is 10-4. Now, Dern is coming off of a loss, I remember. Let's check it out. Yes, to Amanda Ribas, unanimous decision. And Cyphers is coming off of a loss as well to Angela Hill, ground and pound in the second round. Now, this is going to be a competitive fight. I think Cyphers is pretty tough when it comes to standing up. She's got good movement. She doesn't stand still, not a stationary target, where Mackenzie Dern is kind of like that grappler. So this is like a striker versus grappler matchup. That fight with Angela Hill for Cyphers was, for the way I remember it, was pretty competitive until Angela said, fuck this, I'm taking your ass down, got her down, and was able to put on the finishing touches with the ground and pound. So fun stuff, and we're going to see if she can get back. So one of these girls is going to be able to get back into the win column. Mackenzie Dern came in with a lot of hype, being a world-class grappler, and we're going to see if she's going to be able to put that grappling on display. And like I said, get her hand back, getting herself back in that W column. Oh, my second battery just died. My second camera's memory card, not died, the memory card is full. So we're just going to use the one for the remainder of this podcast. So good. We're all gravy, baby. Next up, we have Roosevelt Roberts taking on Brock Weaver. Brock Weaver looked good in his debut fight until the DQ. What did he get? Knee to net, illegal knees from Rodrigo Vargas. That was really wacky because it just looked like Vargas never learned the rules of MMA. And he was doing a lot of illegal shit. It was just like fucking stupid. But I was excited to see what Brock can do. And he came out with the whole mask and everything, with not the mask, the headwear to represent his tribe, which I thought was pretty dope. And it looked pretty badass too, with the war paint and all that, the weigh-ins. Unfortunately, that fight got ended quickly from the illegal strikes, and he ended up getting a win by DQ. You know, at least you got both checks. You know, it is what it is. Could always be worse. You could get one, and at least you got both, you know? So this one's taking on a very tough Roosevelt Roberts, who's good with the guillotines and chokes, it seems like. Roberts is 26. How tall is he? 6'1". Okay. So his last one fight, he beat Alexander Yokalev by unanimous decision. Before that, he lost to Vince Pichel in a really back-and-forth fight. And before that, he beat Thomas Gifford in a unanimous decision. Oh, and he beat, in the finale, Daryl Hurcher, standing guillotine choke. So Brock, let's see what he's got. He's 6 feet tall, 73-inch reach. Okay, so this is going to be a pretty competitive fight, I think. Devin Smith, we just didn't get to see much from him besides what we saw him on The Ultimate Fighter against Devin Smith. So I'm really looking forward to this. He's got another DQ win over James Freeman. He beat Tyler Hill, rear naked choke, and a couple of split decisions. He lost to Joe Riggs, bare knuckle fight by decision. Charles Bennett, he beat him by split. Wesley Golden, he beat him by split. So a couple of decisions here. This is going to be a very interesting fight. Both guys tall, lanky. I like Roosevelt in this one. I think his striking and his experience might play a little bit of a part in this and him getting the nod, but we're going to find out in a couple of days. This next one I like is Billy Quarantillo versus Spike Carly. Spike Carly beat, I believe, his training partner, Alon Cruz, with that knee. And, oh, it was the head kick, and then he followed up with the strikes, and then he started doing, like, the weird stuff. I don't know. Spike Carly just seems like a very fascinating and different type of individual. Don't know if he's my cup of tea yet. We're going to find out, getting to know him a little bit more as he goes through his UFC career. He seems like a very interesting kind of guy to hang out with. But again, I don't know if he's my cup of tea, maybe in short doses, but we're going to find out. I don't know much about him. It's hard to judge somebody based on their post-fight antics and stuff like that. So Billy Q is a pretty tough dude. I got to roll with him once out here when he was at Sarah's, came down to Sarah's BJJ. Tough dude, tough grappler. And he's a freestyle fighter. It seems like he does it all pretty well-rounded. This is 145, yep, featherweight division. Billy Q is 13-2. Spike Carly is 9-1. Now, I don't know who's got the advantage here. The Alpha Ginger, Spike Carly, he is 27. His reach is 71 inches, and he's 5'8". So a little more compact. He beat Alon Cruz, ground and pound. He beat somebody else. Bosnoyan punches round one, spinning back fist round one. Matt Collick, Callahan, who's from Jamaica. I know Matthew a lot. Machu, we call him. Machu. Padilla decision. Rosario, rear naked choke. So he's a finisher, man. He's got armbar, ground and pound, rear naked choke, one split decision loss. So he's a tough fucking dude. This seems like a tougher dude than what he lets himself off to be. Because I guess he's a little on the wacky side, so you might be a little bit underestimating the guy. Billy Q, 5'10", 70-inch reach. He's 31. Now, his last fight, triangle choke, Jacob Kilburn, round two. Kirk punches in round three. KOT, King of the Cage. Round two, TKO, KO. Referee stoppage from strikes, round one. So these guys, retirement round two. So he's a tough motherfucker himself. So this is a very fascinating matchup. The one time he lost was to a head kick, and the other time was an exhibition to Saul Rogers and JP Reese, unanimous decision. So far so good for Billy Q with the record of 13-2. So both these guys are finishers. This is going to be a fun fight because both guys don't quit from what it seems like. And Spike Carly is very unorthodox, the alpha ginger. And we're going to see what Billy Q could bring to the table to kind of neutralize that. It looks like the alpha ginger has a lot of power. I don't know if Billy Q is the biggest puncher, but his grappling and his cardio, I think, and his heart, I think that all that mixed with his tenacity, I think that makes a difference. You know, I like to tend to go with the guys that I know. I really can't call this one, but if I had to pick a guy, I'm definitely going to go with the guys that we know, which is going to be Billy Q. So it should be a fun fight. Obviously, may the best man win, but we'll see what happens. Blagoy Ivanov versus Augusto Saikai. I don't really remember much about Saikai, if I remember correct. Oh, he's a guy that looks Japanese, but he's Brazilian, 6'3". This should be a good fight. He's got some good ground and pound finishes, knockouts. Okay. Now, Blagoy is more of a grappler with a record of 18-3. Augusto is 14-1-1, Sakai. So he might have some Japanese or some type of Asian descent. He looks like he has some Asian descent in him, some Asian type of features. But yeah, this is going to be a fun fight. Co-main event. I think Blagoy's wrestling could be the difference. He had a really tough fight with Derek Lewis. I saw him at the UFC PI working on his striking, doing a lot more stand-up sparring. And I think it's going to be, if I had to pick, I'm going to go with the veteran. I think he's going to use his wrestling to his full advantage and get this guy down and take full advantage of trying to more so lay and pray. He doesn't seem like the ground and pound type of guy, but he can grind out decisions, and I can see that happening in this one, unless Augusto can really utilize some BJJ off his back or even do some sprawling and brawling and keep the fight standing. But it's a tough task. He was able to get Derek Lewis down and Ivanov, so I can see him getting a guy like Sakai down, unless his grappling is just a lot better than I give him credit for. But we're going to see. That's going to be a good fight. The next one, Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns. Now, here's the thing. Woodley was supposed to fight Leon Edwards. Fight never came to fruition. Couldn't get into the country. Coronavirus. Right? So all this thing happening. Now, here's my thing. Gilbert Burns takes out the guy who took Tyron Woodley five rounds. Gilbert Burns also is coming up from 55 to 170, and he looks to carry a lot of weight. He's 18-3. He's 33 years old. He's 5'10 with a reach of 71 inches. In his last fight, he took out Damian Maia, left hook, ground and pound. In round one, he lost to Craig Jones in a grappling match, heel hook. Lucky thing, he didn't get seriously injured. He beat Jake Shields in the grappling, Sakuraba grappling, Eves Edwards in a grappling, Tommy Lackner, he lost to him in a grappling match by decision. But before that, he beat Gunnar Nelson in a close decision. He beat Oleski Konchenko decision and Mike Davis. He beat him by submission. Oh, shit. So there's a lot of upside for him coming up, not cutting all the weight. Still a very, very big guy. I like the level of competition he's had. He lost to Dan Hooker via punches. That was a while ago. What year was that? That was 2018, 2 years ago. So he's a different Gilbert Burns is what I'm getting at. Now, I love Tyron Woodley. He's my guy. Gilbert Burns, he's my guy too. I would say Woodley's more my guy than Burns for sure. Woodley's 5'9". with a reach of 74 inches. He's got some super long motherfucking arms. And his record is 19-4-1. Now, if we look back at his resume, he lost to Usman, one-side decision. Finished Darren Till in spectacular fashion, took all the hype away. Damian Maia went the decision with him. Wonder Boy Thompson twice. He beat him by majority decision the second time. First fight they had was a draw. The second, then to win his belt, he took out the Boogeyman and Robbie Lawler in the first round in like 2 minutes. So, Willie's got a tough resume. He's fought some of the best guys in the world, defended the belt a couple of times, and a guy like Gilbert Burns is super hungry. Now, the one thing I would say about Willie, he hasn't been as active since losing the belt for many reasons. You know, I can't really contest with everything. Obviously, he felt he deserved an immediate rematch. It didn't quite happen that way. But here we are, fighting a guy who's a young up-and-comer, took out the guy in the first round who Willie won a decision with. And obviously, you can't do MMA math. Things are different. It doesn't work like that. One style does this. One guy does this better. This is different. Now we got a different outcome. So now you get to this. Willie is 38. Gilbert Burns is 33. It's not like he's fighting a guy in his 20s, but Gilbert Burns has been around the block. He's got a lot of experience. He's training with the current champ at 170 right now, Kamaru Usman, down at Henry Hoofs. So this makes things very interesting. He's fighting the guy that Usman was able to pretty much dispatch what seemed like pretty effortlessly. And again, Willie looked like he was off that night. It didn't look like, and I don't want to take any credit from Usman, but it just looked like Willie didn't give much offense. And I know Willie does fight a lot going backwards and then he tries to explode, but there wasn't much of that at all. It was just a lot of tentativeness and a lot more waiting to see what Usman was going to do, more so than him trying to get off and bring his own offense to the table. Now, are we going to see the Tyron Willie of old who goes out there and swings some things? I don't know. We don't know. But we know Gilbert Burns is hungry, and he wants to make his run at the title eventually. And obviously, his teammate has the belt right now, but this puts him one step closer, and at least in that conversation, if he could get past a guy like Tyron Woodley. Stylistically, I think the grappling advantage is 100% goes to Gilbert Burns. You saw the way Damian Maia took him down. You saw the way Gilbert Burns handled that and swept him and got back to his feet. Beautiful stuff. No one is doing that to fucking Damian Maia. Damian Maia takes you down. Your only way of getting up is somehow he makes a mistake and you could kick him off and go to all fours and get up and risk giving up your back or getting strangled, you know? So those are the only ways you're really getting out of there with Damian Maia. We saw with Kamaru Usman when Maia was on his back, the ref broke up the position and gave Usman a way to escape, which we would never know could Damian Maia have ever finished that choke because he had all the time in the world to finish and the refs pretty much stole that from him. The one and only opportunity he had in the fight to actually get a finish against a guy like Usman, who's big and strong and powerful. It's hard to get to his back. And the one time Damian Maia got there, the ref took it from him. But then Burns goes out, makes his grappling look very much normal in terms of like, oh, Damian Maia is great on the ground, but I'm good too. Now, is Willie going to use his wrestling? I don't know. Maybe he's going to push him against the cage. We don't know. I think if he pushes him against the cage, it's to wear on Gilbert Burns, try to get him tired. I could see that type of approach. The boxing, I just feel the striking combinations lean to the side of Gilbert Burns. I think the side of the power leans to the side of Tyron Woodley. That is the difference I think that's going to be in this fight. Who could implement their game better? Like I said, Woodley's got that matador style where he backs up. If you get too close when he's about to hit the cage, he fucking explodes. And throws them things hard. And like I said, he has long reach, 74-inch reach for his height. He's 5'9", I think. Yeah, 5'9". So this is a very, very interesting fight. I never pick against my guys. And obviously, I know both these guys. But this is a very difficult fight for me to call because I like both guys so much. But if I had to pick just on paper and where the momentum is leaning, I like the way that Gilbert Burns is trending. But with that said, you could never, ever count out Tyron Woodley. Everyone did that against Robbie Lawler, and look what he did to him. They did that against Wonderboy, took him to a draw the first time. The second time, he made the adjustments and almost finished him in both those appearances. And then he beat Damian Maia and shut him down. Yeah, he did it much harder than Gilbert Burns did it. Burns got him out of there in one round. But he shut down all his takedown attempts, and Maia never even got close to getting a takedown or anything like that. So It just depends on how you look at it. Like I said, styles make fights. So this is going to be a very intriguing one. I think Burns has the skills to win. I think he has the skills to get the upset. And I would not be surprised if he wins. And I would not be surprised if Tyron Woodley is able to go out there and knock him out. Woodley said that the Woodley of old is going to come back for this one. I hope so, because I would love to see it. And I can't wait to see it. And I can't wait for May 30th because it's going to be a great fight. I'm going to be in Vegas. Unfortunately, I won't be able to watch the fights because of the limitations on how much people could actually be in the venue. But I'm super excited for this one, mainly the main event and obviously the bantamweights. I'm always excited about the bantamweights. And I want to see how well Billy Q does against the Alpha Ginger and Spike Carly. So we're going to wrap up. And again, man, if you guys like this podcast, make sure you guys give it a thumbs up. Because if you do, it helps other people find this with the YouTube algorithm a little bit better and helps it pops up on their page. So I appreciate your support. Drop your comments and let me know, because I'm going to comment back. I'm going to probably do one more podcast when I get out to Vegas. So I leave tomorrow morning. So when I get out there, leave your comments below and I'm going to try to answer all of them as best as I can for the next episode of the Weekly Scratch Podcast. So drop your comments. Let me know who your main picks are. And if you have any fan questions, I'm going to pick maybe a couple of them out and I'll answer those questions on the next podcast. And that person could be you. So thanks for tuning in. As always, much love, much respect, and stay safe, stay healthy, and do the things that you love to do. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't, because we run this shit, baby. Let's go. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you guys next time. So subscribe to my shit if you like my shit, or spinning back, back, back fist, baby. Let's go.